My buddy Rory was going to Ibiza for a week.
Wait, what? What did you say?
Ibiza?
Yeah, you mean Ibiza?
Sure, Ibiza.
No.
Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Oh, so you didn't know what I was talking about. Is that what you're saying?
I do. I didn't hear what you, but I kind of assumed, but I was like, what did you say? Ibiza?
Ibiza.
No, but no, the first how you pronounced it before.
Ibiza.
It's not Ibiza. It's Ibiza. Ibiza.
It's all. Or it's English, also Ibiza.
In America, Ibiza. Ibiza. But like, yeah. But you say Ibiza.
Ibiza.
And you're trying to pronounce the TH like a Z, like a Spanish do, you know? The tha.
I don't think you're going to be able to correct me on this.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I just did.
Hey, people. Welcome to Standby with JJ and Francisco. How you been, Francisco?
Wow. It's been I've been good, bro. It's been a while.
Yeah, we had a little bit.
We had what is it called when you don't do something? A hiatus?
Hiatus, yeah.
But it wasn't because we didn't want to be here. It's because we were traveling. We actually had to make money to come back here and do this.
Yeah.
So we were traveling. I was traveling doing shows. I went to Vegas. I went to Chicago. I'm going to Miami. And then you were in Britain. You were actually out of the country.
I was out of the country. We were inspired at one point, weren't we? We were going to do a road. We were going to try to do a show like over Zoom or something. But you'd be amazed at how hard it is to meet up on time zones.
Yeah.
When you're like it's hard enough to meet up on time zones even when you want to call somebody, let alone when you want to do like a full podcast.
Exactly.
Or something.
And also like I think now we got such great good sound equipment right here at the Comedy Store, like now going back to that Zoom kind of like, it's kind of like, do we really, you know what I mean?
That's it. We've become podcast snobs.
Yeah. Well, I think the audience also wants to be, you know, involved with the, you know, they want us to look good too.
Only the best for you people at home. Only the best,
yes,
man.
Yeah.
So yeah, Britain was pretty good. That was about a month. I mean, it was weird. I was over there for a funeral initially. So mourned my friend and
so
then
you
picked up
for
a bunch of gigs.
Wow. That's by the way, that is such a comic thing to like, hey, I'm gonna go for a funeral, but can I still squeeze a couple of gigs in between? That's like when you know you're like a true comic where you're like, hey, I'm mourning, but I'm still gonna gotta make people laugh.
I don't know. Can I get on stage anywhere? I mean, I'm glad I can laugh about that now. I wouldn't have laughed at that idea initially when I went to Britain.
Well, because you didn't you got the gigs while you were over there.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Like, you didn't get the gigs before.
I got it during, while I was up mourning my friend, I was doing the, you know, the little speech.
You got a text?
And I went, and ladies and gentlemen, as we say goodbye to my friend, I just want to say I booked a one-way flight. It's open-ended, and if anybody wants to, no, I wouldn't dare. Luckily, that's a joke.
Or were you promoting your thing? It's like, dearly beloved, we're gathered here. So that you know that, you know, our friend has passed. But also, I'm going to, you know, speaking of alive, I'm going to be performing this weekend at the Comedy Store.
Come on down, 2-for-1 discount on drinks.
I'll hit me after the show, funeral, for the compliments. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm very thankful that these are jokes that he would actually appreciate.
Yeah. Well, he was a comic, right?
He was a director and like he helped me with like my Edinburgh shows, a lot of my Edinburgh one man shows and stuff.
Well, he knew like what we do.
He was a very funny guy. Yeah. Very funny guy. His name was Paul Byrne. Fantastic, and
rest in peace.
He was a lot of people's go-to guy in the industry, you know. He did a lot of production of hit Edinburgh shows and stuff. So
yeah,
after mine. I was his first.
Yeah.
So, but and then just toured Britain for a month, you know, after I got all the tears out of the way. And I tell you what, I did notice something that made me laugh every night, which is after working here in America for the last few years so much, I'm getting so used to comedians in the green rooms and dressing rooms at gigs talking about their air miles and stuff, and like, did you get the upgrade? Did you get this? Or what kind of status are you at? Like what we talk about all the time. And that doesn't happen at all in Britain, because of course Britain's not a fly, like it's a tiny country, but there is still the conversations in the green rooms, because everybody's like, did you get stuck in that traffic? Did you get out of London on time? So it's all about mileage and how long you sit in traffic in Britain, whereas over here it's all about status. Did you get your upgrade?
Yeah. I mean, because you're also performing, like, in, like, you know, we have to go to, like, actual, like, you know, hour flights to get to the gig, you know, over there. Like, you take, like, a bus or, like, or a train or something, and you're in the, you could go in the same day, right?
Buses, trains.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can frequently go in
the same day. Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess, like, being, like, a big New York, I guess. Like, you know what you do in New York when you're like performing from like gig to gig, you know, but you take the subway or you take.
Well, that's the way you can do London.
London, I mean, like,
London, but not the entire. Yeah, the entire country. But I'm saying because the entire island of Britain isn't.
But I'm saying if New York, I don't know what's the size of England, but like let's say the size of the state of New York.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you're gonna go upstate to New York to perform, you can still make it in that same day. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Drive 2 hours or whatever it is. Or
yeah, if you think about like the if you go Brighton to Edinburgh, I would say it's about eight and a half hours drive from Brighton to Edinburgh, and that's the top and bottom of the country, unless you're up in the Orkney Islands or touring the Highlands of Scotland.
So how was that performing over there? Did you because you haven't performed there in a while, so like was it the same that you remember, or was it different because you've been performing here?
It's only been a couple years. I did Edinburgh, I did a show at the Edinburgh Festival called Five Times I Lied to Myself in 2019. But I guess that would be the difference, is when you're doing a one-man show, you're really stressed about the format and the structure. And, like, it was work. Like, I think about 2019, and, like, I was over there for 5 months, and it was all working towards that final Edinburgh show. And actually, once I got to August, I was exhausted.
Mm.
So there's something about, once again, aside from mourning the loss of my friend, there's something about being over there this time that I had nothing. I had no plans. I didn't have a one-man show I'm working on or anything like that. So just going off the, you know, off the seat of your pants at the Comedy Store and stuff like that, and just riffing with audiences, it's a lot better, isn't it? It's a lot more fun when you're like, I have a structure, everybody. Let me get my structure out.
Well, I think that's the key. I think with everything, not with comedy, but with everything in life. I mean, it's like you got to have like kind of like a loose outline of what you have, what you want to do, but don't be so stuck with it, because then so you can have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it is kind of that thing of like, where you're like, it's kind of like traveling or like doing something. You got like a plan. Like I was talking to, friend was asking me about Italy when I went to Italy. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I just stayed in the big cities that I visited like a couple of days. There were like a couple of things that we wanted to do, but then everything else was like, let's see what happens. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's how you enjoy
traveling,
life, everything. You
I
can't
feel like
just
I
be
remember
stuck
you
to the thing.
Yeah. Talking about that, like if you pick one thing a day, and that's enough of your structure. So you get that, you crush that one thing, and then everything else can be flexible wherever you end up.
And those are the fun things when stuff like, oh, we went to, you know, we went to this thing that we wasn't planned to go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. I think those are the
that must
cool things.
Be a big thing in a partnership. Like you and Brooke, are you the same kind of people? Are you guys like one structured thing, everything else spontaneity? Or because sometimes they say in a couple, one person has to be full structure and the other person.
Well,
is
I'm
like,
more
whatever.
I'm more like the structure guy or like organizing stuff. But I learned to like again to be more flexible.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like, well, I do like to have. I'm not to the point of like, well, I'm gonna get someplace and just kind of like, we'll find out where we're gonna sleep that day. Nah, I don't like that either. I need to know where I'm gonna stay. You know what I mean? I need that. That's stuff like that. I'm talking about like just
that's a
like,
big one.
Yeah, but for me, I mean, I mean, some people like yeah, we'll just you know, I don't like that. You know, I'm like, I want to go. Like those stuff, I want to plan. I'm just talking about when you're there already, and then you're like, let's say you want to visit whatever, some museum. I mean, that's the thing for the day.
Yeah.
And then whatever else happens, you know, then, you know, but that's the plans that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like not knowing anything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't, I definitely, and you just struck a chord with me there when you were saying that like knowing where you're going to sleep and stuff like that. That's a thing That's how we age as comics, isn't it? Because as I was touring Britain, like kind of spontaneously, if I found myself up in Liverpool or something, then sometimes I have friends who are like, I have a couch. I'm like, I'll be okay.
I don't. At that point, you're like, no, I mean, like.
Yeah. Let's hang out and party. But I'll get a hotel down the road from your place. Yes. And it'll be okay. And I'll see you for breakfast, too.
Yeah, yeah. Also, you have to have that privacy, man. Like, I think it's like, that's cool when you're like. Yeah. Young, really young, and you're just, you know, who cares? Yeah. You just want to save some money, whatever. You don't really care, but like, yeah, when you get older, you're like, fuck, I don't want to be like be quiet. I can watch TV or I can do my thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you got a jerk off too.
You gotta always have that little spontaneous jerk off budget free.
You can't jerk off in your friends. Yeah. I mean, like quietly. It could be a quiet, masturbation session.
You ever have a house guest and they're like, so when are you going to be back? Are you going out for a bit? And you're like,
Yeah.
You got to tell them that you'll be home sooner than you are.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'll be back in 20 minutes. That's surely not enough time.
And also, I feel uncomfortable too because I'm always like, you know, you're kind of disrupting their schedule in a way. So I'm like, especially for us comics, like if I'm staying in place, I mean, unless it's like a really good friend and they already know what I do and stuff like that, and then it's like different. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna obviously come back home late because I'm doing gigs, you know, and like, you don't have to stay with me, you know, stuff like that. But it's still, it's kind of, you gotta be really good, you know, you can't just, you know.
Yeah, it's, you're on other people's territory.
Yeah, for sure.
I did spontaneously have to get a hotel for a few days towards the end of my trip because I actually lost, I got COVID.
Oh, wow, okay, COVID. You got the English COVID.
I guess so. I got English strain, which is too lazy to really make me under the weather.
You got COVID.
I love how you think the British are more polite.
I guess that's just their reputation, but they're actually quite cutthroat. Yeah, I guess the way that you see it, you know, how they talk is kind of like,
oh, that's
more
right.
Like, more like, but it's because
you're led to assume they're a whole country of Hugh Grants.
Yes, kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And instead, they're a whole country of Vinnie Joneses.
Which one's Vinnie Jones?
Vinnie Jones, that big footballer. He had a short movie career here.
Yeah. I know.
I'm sure he's still around. But.
Yeah.
He's rough.
You're rough. So you got COVID.
I got COVID in the end. I was about to say I lost some work because of it, but I didn't have any work in the first place. So I lost work that I had just picked up by getting COVID. I had to cancel a few gigs and spontaneously move out of my friend's house.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any symptoms. That's the thing. You got really sick when you caught COVID.
No, not really sick. I got symptoms, but I never got like really sick.
Oh, I was under the impression that you were run down.
No. I got like the same symptoms as when I got the vaccines. You know, kind of like lethargic. You know, like not having energy and stuff like that.
Okay.
But luckily I never got like really sick where like I had a fever or shortness of breath. I didn't get that, you know.
Okay, well, that's basically I had zero symptoms. I had a scratchy throat, a bit of cough initially, like not even for the first day. It was just there, and then I tested positive. And then I couldn't shake the thing, so I had to move out of my friend's house, go to a hotel. But then luckily my buddy Rory, shout out to Rory, bailed me out because he was on his way to Ibiza for a week. So he let me stay.
Wait, what did you say?
My buddy Rory was going to Ibiza for a week.
Wait, what? What did you say?
Ibiza?
Yeah, you mean Ibiza?
Sure, Ibiza.
No.
Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Oh, so you didn't know what I was talking about. Is that what you're saying?
I do. I didn't hear what you, but I kind of assumed, but I was like, what did you say? Ibiza?
Ibiza.
No, but no, the first how you pronounced it before.
Ibiza.
It's not Ibiza. It's Ibiza. Ibiza.
It's all. It's English, also Ibiza.
In America, Ibiza. Ibiza, but like, what you say, Ibiza.
Ibiza.
And you're trying to pronounce the th like a z, like a Spanish do, you know, the tha.
I don't think you're gonna be able to correct me on this.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I just did.
Hey, look, I've heard the song where they go, "We're going to Ibiza." Ibiza.
No, it's not Ibiza.
Yeah, that's what they say.
No, Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Ibiza. Ibiza? Ibiza?
Yeah, I think we'll have to.
All right. Well, this is going to be a good one to use for, you know, also what, for people.
Correcting the dialect.
Also, no, because I also want people to go like, what, how do you, who's right? Me, who speaks Spanish.
or me, who pronounces letters. I don't mind. I've heard the song. I remember hearing the song when I was, what was it? It was like, it's the same band that does I'm a Barbie Doll. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. Aqua, welcome to Ibiza. Yeah,
yes. So I'm well
it's not
aware.
But you said Ibiza.
I did. Yeah, so and you asked me to keep repeating it as well.
Because I wanted to see what you, but it was wrong.
Well, okay, but half the world has it wrong.
No, I think everybody pronounced Ibiza.
Do you think I'm the only one who's ever said it that way?
It is actually.
Am I, ladies and gentlemen, can you please write in and let me know, am I the only person who's ever pronounced it that way?
It's the first time I heard somebody go Ibiza.
Right. Yeah. Okay. How do Americans usually say it?
Ibiza.
Do Americans?
Tony, what? I don't know. We can't hear you, yeah. But like, how do you would pronounce it? But you don't know Ibiza? You don't know, that's like a party town in Spain.
Yeah.
I mean, look it up how people pronounce it, but I'm telling you, it's in Spain, like off the coast of...
For this segment of the podcast, we're just going to go Francisco and JJ discuss enunciation and pronunciation for 20 minutes and then return to the...
Yes, this is actually good. Yeah, this is good.
We're going to eat pizza.
No,
that's
you're
how
eating
I remember.
Pizza now. You're saying eat pizza.
Yeah, I was doing that
as a joke,
dude.
Okay. Ibiza.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but like you don't. But he's pronouncing the I like in American. But it's you got to pronounce the I like in Spanish, which is E.
Ibiza.
There it is.
Ibiza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eat pizza. Yeah.
But you say I. You started with the I. You know, which is that's my main thing.
Yes. Okay. So I was obviously.
Well, it's kind of saying
can
like,
I blame it on my friend. I'll blame it on my friend.
It's kind of like saying like in Arkansas, which is a
Arkansas
state. But in Spanish, if you it would be Arkansas, which that's not how it is. It's Arkansas.
Okay. We can further this discussion later. So, well, then I'll oh, no, go.
No, no.
Go,
say,
go, go, go.
Yes.
Ba-boom! Oh, that means I'm right!
No, you're not.
Someone in Spain would refer to the island as Ibiza.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though they'll still spell it as Ibiza.
Of course. No, no. I was never criticizing you the TH. I was criticizing you the I. You say Ibiza.
This would actually
it's Ibiza.
The original pronunciation.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm all right. I'm off the hook then.
No, you're not. You say Ibiza.
Ibiza.
No, now you're saying it right.
I say it both ways.
Nah. How Ibiza?
It says, why do British people pronounce Ibiza as Ibiza?
No, but...
Thank you, world knowledgeable guy.
No. You say...
Yeehaw!
Well, the tape is there. You'll see how you say Ibiza, and that's what I went wrong. You know?
Right, but he just said that's how British people pronounce it.
Okay.
And they live closer to it, so I think that they can be correct.
Yeah, nah, I don't think
they
so.
Get to be correct.
No. So,
so
what
anyway,
were we talking about?
He was going to this Spanish resort island.
In, I'd say, Ibiza.
I don't know what you're talking about. For a week, and he let me stay and whatchamacallit, quarantine at his place.
Nice.
And then,
nice.
But it was tight, man. It was like, I didn't test negative until the morning of flying my flight out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Took a while.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It lasts less. How long? Less. You know.
It was about 7 or 8 days.
That makes sense.
But super shitty when you're like,
when you can't
conversing
do
and everything. Yeah, and you gotta. And I had to cancel these.
Yeah.
Cancel.
Well,
some
at least you didn't get crazy sick and had to go like, you know. So that was good.
Yeah, that's.
It's
a bonus.
Better to do that. Yeah. I mean, I'll take that than.
At least I was in that. At least I was in Britain where the healthcare is.
That's true. That's another thing too. So at least that's a way to get it over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's cool. I'm glad that you didn't, you know, that, and now you're back. And you're, did you get slapped in England?
Did I get attacked on stage or anything? No.
Yeah. Slapped. On
I did
stage,
arrive so. Home just in fact, you make me think of my British gigs now. I don't even think we got heckled once. I don't even think there was one heck. I had to walk out. For I did offend an audience member in London for, I told her, I came to the stage at the start of my set. Mm-hmm. She was putting stuff in her handbag, and I told her I would wait. I said, oh, I caught you off guard. You haven't quite got your things back in your bag yet. And then I started the show, and she just got up with her friend, and they were offended. And I had to, and then like her two, her husbands were left behind, and I was like, what happened? And the husband was like, oh, she doesn't like being talked to. And I was like, holy cow, it wasn't even mean or anything.
Yeah.
And they're sat in the front row. I just thought it was being playful, and yeah, they were like up. Yeah. And so sometimes you don't know, but that's all that happened in Britain. But I did get back just in time for the slap.
Here for the slap.
It was the night I arrived back in London, in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't even have my, I don't have cable, right? I canceled cable before I left for Britain, because I didn't know when I was going to come back.
Yeah, who has cable anymore?
I don't know, but how are you going to watch basketball, man?
Well, now you can just buy any little thing. So it's like you can just have internet, you know, like Wi-Fi, and then you can just have, you know, purchase ESPN by itself, purchase this, purchase that, you know.
I think you can, though.
Well, there's also like, yeah, you can.
You can get
like
ESPN
normal
Plus,
channels. Oh, yeah. Well, there's also like the main channels like YouTube TV and stuff like that, or that you can, it's kind of like semi-cable, but it's not cable.
Yeah, because I got Hulu, but.
Exactly.
Can I just say, Hulu has live sports.
Yeah.
Where they recruited basketball players like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Dame Lillard. They recruited all of them to go Hulu has live sports.
Yeah.
And then if you get Hulu,
no live sports.
They don't have those. They don't have basketball games that involve.
That's crazy.
They don't have the live sports that involve all the athletes, all the professional athletes that they paid to advertise. They have live.
That's
sports.
That's crazy.
Yeah, if it's some obscure shit, you can watch like MLS soccer. Anything that's on ESPN in other countries.
Yeah.
Canada's ESPN, you can get yourself some hockey. You know, Spain's ESPN, you probably get some football.
Yeah.
It's Hulu, you're full of shit. That's all I have to say about that. All
right. But, well, obviously we're not going to get sponsored by them. thank you. Hulu, I'm good. Yeah, I like you. You know, I'll watch you, even with the commercials.
They've got my fucking money, man.
All right.
They've got my money, but now I got to consider getting cable as well, because I can't even get basketball playoffs. Which, by the way, congratulations on winning. Francisco Ramos, 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah.
Francisco Ramos, 2 years in a row, ladies and gentlemen, has won our basketball pool. It's no small feat either. It requires drafting and dropping and paying attention to your roster every friggin' day, which is not my bag, but crushing it. Well, you crushed it, man.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, well, it's not that I don't find it as hard as it is, as like, I don't know, because first of all, like, I watch a lot of basketball, so like it's not like I'm doing any studying like statistics or anything like that. So it's just more about like what I watch and what I see.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's it. I'm just paying attention to that. But I don't feel like it's such a hard work. You know, like, I don't know. Like, what do I would think, like, fantasy baseball? I mean, that's, like, I feel like that's a lot more work.
I feel like all these fantasy sports are a lot more work. I'm a fan of playoff pools, when you have to try to pick the teams that will make it.
And therefore,
if you pick the players on the teams that make it, then you're in the running for the victory.
Yeah.
I kind of like that stuff. But I have trouble with this adding and dropping and keeping track of who's injured and
It tells you.
I don't have the time.
It just tells you.
It does. It does tell you.
I mean, it literally, it's very easy. It tells you, hey, this guy's injured. And most of the times you can do the lineup. You don't have to change the lineup. It's a weekly lineup. You don't have to, like, change, like,
I mean, I'm middle of the pack.
Nah.
I'm consistently. I know you won. I owe you $5.
No, it was more than that.
I thought it was $5.
It was 10, and now it's 20.
Wow.
Okay, nice. Cash.
There you are.
This is good for rent. The musical.
That's right. I'll buy you some popcorn tonight.
I'm gonna send a picture of you with and be like, thank you, JJ.
Should we do it? Should we hold it like do it an official like?
Over
and Tony, you want to take a photo of there?
No, you just gotta be like that.
It's like evidence. Oh, right. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
We probably should have done that. Oh, man.
That's actually felt like I don't know, we're like jumping from tangent to tangent, but like,
yeah,
this actually felt like, I don't know, I've been watching and I really like the show Winning Time, the Lakers, the HBO
right.
one. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Really, really good. So I just felt like that picture looked like this 80s, like
that?
When you were signing, like the Magic
the
Johnson
big draft
signing,
pick
like,
and...
yeah, like looking at that. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, yeah, it's really good. So you should watch it. I'm not going to talk about it.
I will for
watch
sure
it.
Check it out. So, yeah, I guess before we went on the basketball tangent and the television tangent, the reason why I was saying that I had canceled my cable. So on Sunday, I get back and my phone just started ringing off the hook. Actually, various people and other comedians
really?
Going.
My phone was very quiet
during the slap.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, what? But why were they people like? But they were hitting you like you were part of the Will Smith like.
No, PR? They were just hitting me up to see if I saw what had just happened and like you
well,
know.
Well, I guess I mean just a little group chat, but nothing else.
Oh right, yeah. No, I got several phone calls and people asking for my opinion and stuff and like.
Oh.
You know, and then...
what is your opinion?
What is my opinion?
Ooh.
Stop attacking comedians for jokes.
Okay.
It's a pretty bog standard.
Yeah.
And
well,
hey, don't drag me for my race on my own social media.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I had to block some people.
For what?
So, for me being white...
The whole point is like, I think the main thing is like, you know, like... No matter if you don't like anything or not, and if you're trying to defend anything or anybody, you know, like violence is not the thing. Like, if you can, there's a million ways to be like, I didn't like that joke or whatever, to say, to protest something, you know, if you don't like it. But to go and hit somebody for no reason, that's, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a comic, it could be, you know, you can just go and do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there was only one crime committed. I'm not going to...
And he even admitted. He said, I shouldn't have done. I mean, it's not like he's like, like saying like, oh, you know, he obviously know that he did wrong. I mean, everybody knows that he did wrong, you know?
Well, some people have had trouble coming around to realize, you know, some people have done the whole, but words are violence. So what Chris Rock did was throw the first stone and all that
no,
kind of
but
stuff.
Like,
come on.
No, I mean, there's more, there's a lot of things that, worse things that people have said to a lot of other people, you know, and like, it's like, and it was never a thing to like, where he could have like, he could have easily go up there if he wanted to. First of all, he even did it like in reverse. You know, like he went and slapped him and then he started yelling. Usually the normal reaction is to go like, hey, stop bothering me. Hey, stop bothering me. JJ, stop bothering me. JJ, I told you to stop bothering me. Stop saying that. It's annoying me. JJ, I'm going to slap you. He didn't even say I'm going to slap you.
Yeah.
Which is the second tier of like, I'm going to slap you. I'm going to slap you. Nah. He just jumped.
You're right.
And then he was like in reverse.
He went all the way to DEFCON 1.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Which is, that shows you where his mind state was not really good, because especially knowing that you're going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
That's like, to me, that's the most like crazy thing. Knowing that you're going to win an Oscar, knowing that it's your night, you know, and like, and you go and ruin your whole like.
Yeah. And you behave like
that.
That,
you know, which.
Yeah.
Also has to do with the ego, how the ego was like so huge there that you think and you're like, well, I'm going to win the Oscars, so I'm allowed to do everything kind of thing. You know what I mean?
It's hard to understand what was going through his head.
Yeah.
That was not a...
Yeah.
I would like to think that's not the way most movie stars are just before they're about to, you know, win an award. You know, there's just that feeling of that tension and they don't know how to behave.
No, I could see how you're like... excited and you know, and like, and nervous and all this stuff,
yeah,
or like,
but it shouldn't manifest itself in an assault,
of course. Well, know? I mean, I feel, and I mean, this is not my take, I've seen this with other people, I think, and I think I saw this on Tony Rock's Instagram or something like that, where it was like, you know, some people are saying like that it was more of like a mental, like, I mean, he's like. Like, it's a thing that's not because of that. It's like a accumulation of all this stuff, and finally he kind of snapped. You know, like, because the whole thing is like people were always making fun of him because of his relationship that's been, you know, with his wife about how, you know, it's open and all this stuff. And so
I have no doubt that there's many so, yeah, factors that
course,
go into these
it's,
things.
It's not a normal reaction to go from there to that. So obviously there was some, you know, it was more than that.
Yeah.
That was
and
like
it,
the
And it
the
gets
thing
heightened.
That, yeah.
Like all of these things heighten
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, who knows what he's going through. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I hope he's maybe a decent guy, but I don't know how you come back.
I mean, and this is how life is, you know, which is interesting because it's like literally the guy's like 30 years been as a star on the limelight, you know, celebrity and pretty much done everything, you know, movies and done this and like very successful and all this stuff. And then.
And it was amazing too to be a rapper
and the, to be
and
a rapper and move it. I mean, no, just I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy.
Like,
so it's like, and then one thing, you know, kind of like,
yeah,
you know, not saying that his career is over or anything like that, but it's like, what sucks is like now a lot of people are just gonna remember that the first thing that they say or that they see. Well, if you see him in a movie or if you Google him, you know, and. You
like
know,
the way you think about Mel Gibson. When you see Mel Gibson in a movie, that's you're like, that's the guy who did the anti-Semitic rant to
exactly,
the cops.
Exactly. You know, so, which is nuts, you know. Like,
but I mean, Alec Baldwin, I used to always think, you know, that's that guy who yelled at his ex-wife on the answer phone.
And he,
now I think of him as in
a guy. Well, he went up one
he
more
leveled
level.
Up, so so maybe Will Smith
maybe
can still.
Something where, yeah.
So yeah, Will Smith could outdo himself, man.
Or if he says, or maybe he saves like a baby, like in a burning building.
Then it's all the way back.
And then he's went back to like, well, he did, yeah,
you know,
like.
Oh, totally.
You know.
Well, in fact, if
but he can't be planned. He can't be a TikTok video.
Let's figure. What if he got a divorce? If he got a divorce, do you think that would win back fans?
No. I mean, no? What does that have to do with...
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're just... I mean, I don't think it has one thing or the other. I think that's just their relationship, you know?
Yeah, but I just think people are obviously, you know,
but you
transferring a lot of weight onto onto the
well,
relationship.
Yeah, but it is,
you know,
about that. I mean, because you see on the video that he was like... laughing.
Oh, he was laughing.
I mean,
so.
Politely laughing. Maybe he didn't like the job, but he was like politely laughing because he's like, ah. And
he was he doing the thing kinda... that a humble, could we say humble? That a humble movie star should do is like laugh at the jokes that are lobbed your way.
Yeah,
and,
and also people were saying too about like Chris Rock that like I'm pretty sure that, you know, that Chris Rock being like such a great, you know, comic that he is, iconic comic that he is, like, that he had no idea that she was suffering from that condition. Because
no way.
He would not, as a comic, we both know as comics, it's not funny to make fun of something that's like a disease or something like that. That's not funny. It's
and especially if you know the person is beating themselves up over it.
Of
you know,
course,
is,
yeah.
You don't hit them when they're down, but you hit them when they're, you can hit them, it helps, it can help to heal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I just remember I got dumped once, many years ago, and a couple of my friends were over at the house, and then one of my buddies, you know, and it was really fresh, and we were all like, the mood was sad, you know, mm-hmm. The mood was sad, so it wasn't like an awards show or anything, but one of my buddies, I think I said, what should we all get for dinner? Let's order some food in or whatever, and my buddy goes, I think JJ should pay because he's having way too much luck these days, kind of thing, and boom, kind of stuck it in.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it hurts, but it makes you giggle, and it actually does help.
Of course.
I didn't get up and slap my friend for
Well, also,
that.
You're, I mean, not that you're, like, I think also, that's a, but that's a thing that we also have to be aware of, because we're comics, so we take that more of a, some people that are not, that don't think like us, might not appreciate that comment, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Again,
of
even
course.
If it's a normal person that's not a comic, they shouldn't slap somebody, be like, hey, dude, I didn't like what you said, whatever.
Yeah,
but I get what you're saying, man. I think because that's the thing that I also sometimes I also have to remember when I try to make a joke in situations that are not funny.
You're right, yeah.
Because again, like you might find it funny, but other people might not find it funny because they don't think like we look for the joke first, no matter what. So that one thing that I remember. But again,
I had that happen a few times with my Uber drivers in Grand Rapids and Green Bay.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think we totally did. We would make little jokes, and then the driver just...
They didn't like it.
They
just don't like it.
And you can see they make a whole summation of who you are as a person for some weird...
So I get, again, but I think what we were saying, I don't think Chris Rock had no idea, because I don't think he would have said that joke about that if he had, you know, like, if she knew, if... if he knew that it really affected her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
do you think Chris Rock, how long do you think Chris Rock would last if he had to fight Will Smith?
I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it's funny because I don't know. You never know because, guy, you know, I don't think it's sometimes about the size. I mean, if the other person knows how to fight or whatever.
I don't know what Chris Rock's been up to in his personal life, but but his movies definitely haven't provided him with any training. Whereas Will Smith,
There were also people saying that he was like fake, and I was like, it wasn't fake at all because it's
whoever thought that was.
I mean, like you could. Well, people in the moment you thought, oh, they're joking, you know, because obviously like. Nobody would expect that. And even him, he was so like, what? And I could see, because I've been in that position when, like, something happens to you that is so, like, why? Like, you're like shocked. You're like, you can't even move because you're like, what the hell did just happen? Did this person just, like he even said it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah,
though?
Apparently that's a thing.
Which causes difficulty interpreting nonverbal cues. So, like, as Will Smith was walking up there, doing whatever the fuck he was about to do, Chris Rock probably had
no idea.
Well, you wouldn't think that. But
I would never even think. I would never think. Even like if it was like even if you're like even if he knew that he got mad because he's coming walking mad and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He probably is going to think he's like, oh, he's going to like hug him or like, hey, come here. Like, don't say that, you know, like hug, like a jokingly like headlock or anything like that. But in a million years, you never thought it's like, this guy's going to slap me at the Oscars. Like, what? Like, that's why even like he was just, and then he even said, he was like, oh man, I mean, that's the restraint that he had was great too, because it's like, it was like kind of like, wow, like I could just, he even said it. It's like, I could, and then he just stopped. He's like, because he could have, like, as a comic, go ride, you know, and I'm glad he didn't because he would have messed up his thing to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he could have put him down. He could have said, well, when Will Smith's like, keep my wife's name out of your mouth, he could be like, but I'm sure your name's going to come up a lot in the deposition.
Yeah.
There's lots of kind of lines, something. But he just kind of.
But it was the smartest thing.
He was a total pro.
Yeah, that's such a pro thing because at the end of the day, it's about he kept the show going.
Yeah. Because I felt angry for him in the moment.
Of course.
And then I was having those thoughts of like, oh, he should like dig in and go, you know, what are you doing, man?
But it's so smart to say that because. And then now he'll eventually now write very, very funny material later on when it's like the whole emotions are out and then he can really concentrate.
The jokes are going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a joke in itself that he's going to go, what I can't do is tell you guys what I did because you guys know what I did. Yeah, but every other comedian's story, we always get to go, so then we get to put a little hero, a little hero wash on it. And then I said to the bus driver or whatever. But you can't do that when it happens on national TV. And that's kind of funny in itself, circumstance. But I love how he doesn't have – I was looking through Chris Rock's movies, right? And he's never played an action star or anything. No. He once played a stand-up comedian who was in some action movies.
Well, he's a comic. He's a fully –
Yeah, but Will Smith was a funny guy as well.
But he's never been a stand-up comic.
Yes, but my point is, well, he came from sitcoms, so he was still a comedy actor.
Still, but he's an actor at the end of the day.
Yeah. But I'm looking at the body of work of two older A-list actors in Hollywood, A-list for different reasons, you know. And when you look down their movies, every second Will Smith movie would require physical training. You know, he's fought robots, he's fought aliens.
Yeah.
He's been Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, of course.
And Bad Boys, because I remember in Bad Boys. He transformed from that skinny Fresh Prince.
Yeah, he had to get big.
Put on 20 pounds of muscle and everything, so he became that stud. Whereas Chris Rock's like done Pootie Tang and Grown Ups 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are two different, very different men. Chris Rock wouldn't storm a stage to try to slap somebody, even if he wasn't a comic who respected performance art.
Yeah. No, it was. I even right now, even though it's past like a couple of weeks or something, I still think about it. I'm like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That happened. You know what I mean? That, you know, and then the whole speech thing where he was like, he like, where he also like, it was so weird too. Like, you know, to even first thing is like, hey, my bad, I should apologize to Chris. He didn't say that.
He didn't apologize to Chris.
I mean, later on, but he should have said it right away. I'm like, hey, I don't know what happened to me. I guess I got too stressed out through this whole process. I don't know what I did, you know.
I think you summed it up really well there when you just said the stressed out thing. That's it too. I think that's how
Of course, it manifests. Well.
And you're right. He could have. That should have been a moment of humility. You know, because I think people could have forgiven him if he'd have.
And could have understood. Like, I get it, because I can understand how stressed out he can be the day of. If like, man, I'm gonna win. People tell me you're gonna win an Oscar. You're gonna get your Oscar. You know all this stuff and like. And all, you know, just a lot of stress, even if it's good stress.
I'm so stressed. Oh, shit, Jada's mad at me. Yeah, I better slap Chris Rock.
That's manifested, I guess. Well, that's, yeah. So, yeah, man, it's just, it's unfortunate that it happened, man. But,
and it's not going away. And I don't know, but I've had to block. I guess you wouldn't have the same problem that I had. But I've never had to block people, really. On my
social media
and stuff.
Why?
Like that. But there was a little bit of racism being thrown my way, as I think there was for some people. When it's public, because I had to move some friends and stuff. I had to move them onto my DMs and just go, hey, do you want to talk about this in the DMs?
Because they were posting in your why?
Like there was, I think there's a few people that get misled by whatever their favorite podcasts are, or whatever NPR or whatever. So it was just like white men should not be commenting on the.
Oh, because you wrote a joke about it. Or
Chris Rock, I was tweeting and joking about it all night. Oh, okay. The night that I found out that it happened, because I don't have cable, and I was just sitting there on Twitter,
got it,
jokes and stuff. And then, but you know, some people wanted to make it a race thing, which again, like we said, there's lots. Lots of elements that went into this, but there was only one violent act.
Yeah,
there was only one crime committed.
Yeah,
so you can add up all your little proxy elements and arguments if you want, but they still don't come.
Yeah, because
one
of the arguments was like he was defending his wife, but like
yes,
but to me, my thing is like, yeah, he could have defended his wife with words. You know, he could have he could have gone up to like let's say he goes up. And then grabs the microphone and goes like, hey, Chris, you know, my Jada has alopecia, so please don't make fun of that. How cool would that be? I mean, people would be like, even like, oh, wow.
The real smart thing would have been to just make fun of that joke.
Or make fun of whatever.
Because it was a G.I. Jane reference.
Oh, but he's like, not a comic,
dude,
so he was
you really
going
to try to humiliate my wife over a 30-year movie reference kind of thing? Or
something like that. Anything. Yeah. You know, it could have been anything. But like, the only way that I can understand that he would hit or use violence or something, if it's like literally Chris Rock was like, or another person was like grabbing her ass or actually doing something violent, then I think that's the only way that you know, so I don't think that argument of like defending something is like, yeah, I understand the thing, but the way that he did it was wrong.
Yeah. So, yes, and so that story was out there that it was about her alopecia, which it wasn't, but on top of that, I think that's why some people, including like white women. I had some white women as well, and I don't know, every race. I had about 5 or 6 people who came to my social media to say that I had no right. And I'm commenting as a comedian. Watching an assault, but on top of that,
that's what I was gonna
say. Have every right to fucking talk about an assault that happened on stage. But I've had a gun pulled on me in Manila once after a show. Wow. You know, I've witnessed
after the show, or during the show.
It was, I got in a heckling battle during the show. And
in Manila, the Philippines.
In the Philippines, yeah. And then outside after the show, I had a gun pulled on me because of...
Wow, like because of the heckling stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so what happened?
The two other comedians that were with me came and kind of cut it off.
You were just walking out and the guy just went like... Hey,
no,
I didn't like that reference about what was it, heckler?
No, it was the owner of the bar had two security guards on the balcony where I was, and I think he was either married or dating the woman that was heckling. So he was now angry with me, and he snapped his fingers to one of the security guards, and the security guard came over and put his hand on my shoulder, pushed me up against the building, took his gun out.
Oh, fuck.
And put it against my
head.
And he just started going, I could fucking end you right now for how dare you talk to my audience like that. And I was like, holy shit, I was being heckled by your audience. I didn't go up there and seek it out. So yeah, it was pretty.
Damn,
it was kind of intense.
That is intense as shit. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. Philippines are fun, man.
Damn. 2 drink minimum, or like 2 gun minimum, maximum.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how I feel that. Anyway, as a comedian or as a member of society, we're allowed to comment on.
But I think it's more of a
I don't like
comedian.
These whole like watching an incident and then somehow. It seems very American to me, somehow dragging race into it or dragging something else that's a reach.
It.
It's
yeah,
a bit
yeah.
of a reach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And overall, I really hate when you're I'm told, and it was actually one of my white female friends who told me this, who was saying like, well, you shouldn't, you know, because black women are the most picked on in society. And I was going, it's not whoever gets picked on each week, everybody starts towing the line of, well, they're the most picked on culture.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Asians were picked like a few months ago when that mm-hmm. happened. And I think the Asians do get a bad rap. I do think that this case is way down the scale of being a specific race related. Bald men get picked on mm-hmm. more than balding women.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so to be told, I was told this by a white woman of like, well, what you don't understand is, and I just went, look, I gotta stop you right there. You gotta stop saying to people, I've reached the same conclusion as you, which is that the slap was bad. But what you don't understand is that I know about this history when you don't. We all are privy to the same information.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the same documentaries, weirdly enough, a documentary about hair narrated by Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've seen all these things. Yeah. We have the information. I don't need a lecture from somebody who's listened to NPR recently and wants to put me in my place.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I think, I mean, I see it as, like you said, as a comedian, you know, because that's also, like, because what we do. I mean, like, so
yeah.
Obviously we feel very connected to being on stage and being like, well, somebody is just going to, they didn't like a joke and they're just going to come and...
Yeah.
You know what's worse that you could do to a comedian instead of like doing anything physical harm or any heckling is leave. That's the worst thing you can do. To
yeah,
a comedian.
You're right,
like
yeah.
You leave, that's the worst thing you can do. That's where you hurt a comedian the most.
Yeah.
So it's like
and leave without even
saying anything. That's
yeah.
the worst
you
thing.
You get up and you leave cuz yeah. even if you say something, you're still giving
you're still
the
giving
comedian
them, yes.
a little something that they can work off of.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get up and just
yeah.
And just walk out.
That's the most, like, tool that an audience
yeah.
can have.
Maybe do a little sniffle and a cry mm-hmm. on the way. And then,
yeah.
and then oh, that'll really get the audience on
but
your
it,
side.
It also, like, when you say it's, as a comedian, it reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where he's, like, where he's mad that Tim Watley, the dentist, became
yeah.
Jewish.
Yeah,
and then
he's converted
like,
for the jokes.
Yeah, he's, like, it's like, and then he goes to the... Or like to the oh no, or to or he's telling a priest and he's like, so are you offended as a Jewish person? He's like, no, I'm offended as a comedian.
Yeah, that's there it is. That sums it up right there.
It is kind of like that. It's kind of like yeah, you're looking at it in the eyes of a comedian, not of like
yeah.
color or anything else. Is you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as somebody who's witnessed these kind of things and also who like we should be offended
yeah.
by that.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I mean, I think, I mean, the fact
like
that he, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody know he did wrong, even himself, you know, like, so it's kind of
yeah.
like, so there's no excuse, he, you know, whatever his intention was, you know, he went the wrong way about it, you know,
yeah.
even if it was to, you know, protect his wife, he still messed up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a good intention to protect his wife, but the execution was wrong. And that's the thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like you cannot excuse that, you know, even
yeah.
if he wanted to mean to do something good, you know what I mean?
Oh, entirely. So Chris Rock hosting the Oscars next year? Yeah.
Nah, I think at this point now, like you know, like I mean, it's tough because also like that's actually a great question because as a comic, you know, like yeah, you wanna those are like one of the I mean that's kind of like the best hosting gig you can have in your career, you know.
It is and it isn't.
I mean,
it?
Before
because you
but
never
now,
see any comedians like really proud of it in retrospect, do you? Everybody is kind of like
yeah,
did that.
No, it's more like no, but it's more like you're like in part of the club kind of thing, you know,
yeah.
the you know Hollywood, you know, whatever. But like. But now, I mean, like, it was cool to do it because, yeah, you're a comic and you went. But now, like, what do you? It's hard to do it because now you're like with this. It was like, what can I make fun of? And yeah. Then as a comic, yeah, you don't want to go up there and do very like easy, safe jokes because then it just. Then you look bad as a comic. You look hacky.
Here's what you need to do, bud. You need to design like a survey, like a one pager with about 48 questions on it, like a doctor's, like a check-in at the medical clinic, and they have to be handed out to the audience beforehand. And it's everything that's related to one of your jokes. Like, do you suffer from xenophobia, agoraphobia, hair loss? Are you short? Yeah. Are you fat? Are you a woman? And then, please, ladies and gentlemen, can you tick all the boxes on your checklist, hand them in, and then you're just sitting there backstage going, oh, that one's gone. Oh, that one's gone. Oh, shit.
And then you can't have any. Because also, what's funny, too, is like, you know, like, well, they did have two out of, there were three hosts, so that, and two out of were comics, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, and they also did worse jokes than that one, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
when they were in, you know, in the beginning of their monologue. So it's like, yeah, I mean, but I don't know. I mean, I guess, I mean, hey, if I get offered to host the Oscars, I'll do it. I need the money. I'll be like, whoa, what's up? Hey, I'll be like, hey, Jada. I'm not going to say anything. What's up, Will? I'm not going to say anything.
Chris Rock. Yeah, man. There you go. There you have it, Oscars. Get yourself a Francisco Ramos host.
Yeah. Well, I think we're kind of like, almost close to our time. I think, one thing is like finally we're back. You know, we can start
bringing
more people,
rhythm.
Get more guests in as well.
We've already got one fantastic guest coming later this month, don't we? Because we're going to get her in towards the end of the month. Very exciting.
You want to say
maybe? Maybe we should just, should we tell them? Or
yeah, of course.
Carmen Morales is going to come in. Nice. So that's probably two episodes away now.
Yeah. I have a friend who's very, he's a very popular comic in Brazil. Who's he lives in New York now. He's gonna come here for the Netflix is a joke festival.
Right.
He wants to do the podcast as well.
Awesome.
So like his name is Rafinha Bastos and he's great, very funny. So he'll be great to be on the podcast as well. And also just get more just to get also our episodes back in every platform so people can see them and listen to them.
Yeah, keep your eyes out. Those of us that are listening, I don't know what medium you're listening to it on. What medium you're listening to it on.
Yeah, but let us know where you can see it if you can. So, because we have to know. If it's not showing up on where you want to listen to your podcast, let us know.
Yeah, if it's not on Apple iTunes Italy, and you're sitting there, then we'd like to sort that out for you.
As always, just remember to subscribe to the podcast in all the platforms that are available, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, the main ones. Please follow us on the social media, Instagram, Standby Podcast, Twitter, Standby Podcast, all those as well as us. And for me, just quickly, if you listen to this, before I'll be in Miami this weekend performing. I'm also gonna be in Washington D.C. on May 6th and 7th.
Awesome! Are you gonna get a hometown crowd going then?
Yeah, I mean the friends who are tired enough seeing me, probably come back. Hopefully.
Do you feel that you have friends that are tired of seeing you now? Like
I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of like I just say it, but it's like I don't like. If you want to come. If you don't, not like pushing. Like, again, if it was like a taping or something, I'd be like, hey, please come to this.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, I'm just letting you know, but you don't.
I know. We were talking about this. I was talking about this with Tony before the show, and we were talking about it upstairs. And I've talked about it with friends before about, like, I don't want my non-comedy fan friends to come. I like that they're still my friends, but they don't have to come if they hate I don't know why they hate comedy, because comedy's the best, but they don't have to come. It's really weird when you have those friends that like think that it's a mandatory. He has to be supportive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, because I have a friend that did a whole ring around for a gig once and like dragged a whole bunch of people out. And then after the show, they're talking to me in the bar and they were like, yeah, you know, so-and-so told me that we had to come to support you, that you needed the support you need. And I was like, oh, this is the opposite. I want you to come out because you love stand-up comedy and because you feel no risk. But if I'm up there, that makes it actually harder for us. If we're up there trying to convert people to comedy, it's like forcing a religion on you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think comedy is a thing that you want to be in the right mood for. If not, don't go. You know, because you want to be able to laugh and be cool to be people talk to you, whatever it is. You know, but yeah. I think with friends too. I always tell them because hey, by the way, I'm coming. You know. But just whatever. And then, because then you don't say anything, and then they find out. And they're like, why didn't you say anything? You know, that was like, yeah, you know, because I don't, you know, like, come. And like,
yeah.
It's kind of like a fan. I mean, if I, and sometimes if I tell mostly like friends, it's more like, hey, let's hang out. You know, it's not that much about like, hey, I'm coming for shows, but it's not like you have to come to a show. We can just go have a drink somewhere.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's not about
you.
We
can catch up. And I'll be in town.
Yeah, like I was there, like when people, like when, as comics, when we need people to come, we'll let you know. Like, I feel like that's a thing. I'd be like, hey, I'm taping a special. I'm taping this. Yeah. I'm doing this.
I need to sell out the Metro Center. It's a 10,000 seater.
Exactly.
I'm about 9,996 seats short. So yes, can you please come?
Yeah. Exactly. That's when we're like, that's when we want you to come, even if you don't want to come.
That's when we need your support.
Yeah. But that's few because we're not taping stuff.
Yeah.
Every show. So yeah. But like, remember, those are some dates. I don't know if you have any dates coming up. Are you gonna be here?
No, I'm just here for the short term. I mean, that was a lot. We were just in Texas. You didn't even ask me. I was gonna ask you about this.
Oh, what?
Okay. So.
All right.
So we were in Texas. We went to the Alamo.
What is that? Oh, is that like a cannon?
Yes, it's a cannon. It's not a...
I felt like...
The way you said, what is that?
Because I thought it was like a whistle.
Right.
Come and take it. Come and take my whistle.
Come
and take my whistle.
Jeez, you made it weird.
It looks kind of like a whistle.
So I know, you're right. You're right. It does look like a rape whistle.
But when you said Alamo, then I'm like, oh, it's a cannon.
With a rape whistle up the top.
I was just talking about...
It's a full message. It's right there.
I was just saying like a normal whistle. I wasn't mentioning the other thing.
I know, but I just paired it up with the saying, come and take it.
Yeah.
That's offended somebody out there. Please don't send somebody after me to be slapped. But here's what I was going to ask you, though. So to me... This was a play on the come and take it with a gun, right?
Yeah.
It would be a gun, which would make it a right-wing gun owner shirt. I'm not a gun owner. I'm not a right-wing gun owner or anything. But does wearing this, does this still strike you as that side of the political spectrum?
I mean, now that I see, I actually didn't even pay attention to what you, but now, I mean, it's still an aggressive no matter what.
Is it? Okay.
It's still aggressive.
Okay, see, that's interesting.
Because it says come and take it. I mean, like, that's basically you're being like, you're already being aggressive of like you're starting something. It's like nobody's asking you to take anything, and you're like, come and take it. You're like, what?
But do you know how hard it would be to take a cannon, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So isn't that the
talking about the actual Alamo,
or is that just me interpreting it as funny? That's what I can't figure out. I was like, I find this hilarious.
Oh yeah, but
because you couldn't take it. But you find it more serious.
Of course,
because
you're
like,
like,
it's a gun and it's just from the Alamo.
No, it's not even the gun. It's just the phrase, come and take it. It's just very aggressive. It could be anything.
Right.
You know, it'd be like, come and, like, why are you even, who? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just comes out of like
well, I know that you're interpreting it as aggressive, but if it was a huge cannon and I was like, yeah, come and take it.
I think
it,
the
you
only
know
way
I'm
that
being
it would
sarcastic.
Be fun. No, but that's the thing. I think the only thing, it's just very, because the only thing would be funny if it's something that's so outrageous.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what else. I mean, something.
That's what I. This strikes.
No, it is
me.
About the Alamo. Yeah.
This is what I mean. Strikes me as an impossible thing.
But I'm just
saying,
you're saying that people are going to find it funny. Like, no, I think people, like, 9 out of 10 people are going to be like, what the fuck? And then the other one's going to be like, yeah.
So you think 9 out of 10 people would still think of this as the gun and would think that I'm talking about being pro-gun?
Not gun, but more like that you're like that kind of like thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
because it wouldn't be the first time I've misinterpreted a shirt, but I like the way I interpret things sometimes, and that's how I interpret this, because I've seen a lot of canons in my life, and I know how.
Let me put it this way: if you go with that shirt to a rally, they'll let you in. They'd be like, "Oh, what's up, man? You're one of you know."
Sometimes you don't know if somebody's wearing a shirt. Ironically, this is so. When I went to the Calgary Stampede, and I was about 15 years old, 14 or 15, so I was just discovering girls. And I didn't live in Calgary. I was living in Nova Scotia.
You were discovering girls at what, 15?
14, 15, you know?
Like, what do you mean? Like, that you started liking them, that you realized that there were another sex in the world?
Yes. That's about the time I realized there was another sex in the world. Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I was aware that there was another sex in the world all my life, but until about 14, I think I just thought they had cooties. And so it wasn't until, you know, I was in that age where I now knew that they didn't have cooties.
Yeah.
And I maybe liked them a bit. I was out in Calgary, and I saw the shirt. This is what I did with this shirt. And it said, forget the bull, ride the cowboy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is a good shirt for me for a message to
get
to
girls?
Women.
Oh, no.
Right?
Jeez.
But it's the complete opposite.
Of course it is.
Well, no, because at my school, it was interpreted very much as a gay shirt. Mm. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they were like, forget the
cowboys. Oh, I didn't
even think
about
that.
They
saw it as a lifestyle statement.
Oh, got it.
Which I do feel that some of my gay friends have said, that's a lifestyle statement.
Well,
I didn't think of it that way.
Well, we need to wrap this up, but I think you're as a rule, I think you should just buy shirts that don't say anything. Just stick to like cartoon, like just don't buy shirts if it says anything. That's not for you.
I'm gonna keep going, man. It's all down to my interpretation. All right. There you go. Send your shirts to the Standby Podcast at the Comedy Store here in Los Angeles.
Bye, hello. Have a great night.
See you guys soon.